You know, when you mentioned Edvard Munch and the scream, it got me thinking, why does that painting still kind of get to us?
It's everywhere, right? Like people copy it, they make fun of it, it's on mugs, movie posters, everything. But the actual painting, it still has this weird power. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it really does. It makes you wonder, what is it about that image, those swirling colors, that figure, like frozen in a silent scream? What makes it still matter after all this time?
Right, exactly. So to figure that out, we got to go deeper than just, oh yeah, that famous painting. Let's start with the basics. The Scream, Edvard Munch, painted in 1893. But get this, there isn't just one Scream. Munch actually did a bunch of versions, two paintings, two pastels, even a lithograph stone to make prints.
That's right, each version has its own story. But before we go there, it's important to get Munch, the guy himself. He wasn't into just pretty landscapes or whatever. A lot of his work, it goes to these dark places, anxiety, feeling alone, overwhelmed by the world.
You can tell, right? The scream, it's not exactly a walk in the park, you know?
Exactly. And to him, it wasn't some random thing. The scream was part of this huge project he called The Frieze of Life. Paintings, each one digging into some part of being human, how we feel, what we go through, really raw stuff.
So where does the scream fit into all that? What was Munch trying to get across with this painting?
Well, we kind of get a peek inside his head because Munch kept diaries. There's this entry, he's walking by this fjord overlooking Oslo, sun setting, and bam, this anxiety hits him like a wave. He says the sky was blood red, talks about an infinite scream passing through nature.
Intense. You can practically feel how freaked out he was just from his words. Like he took that feeling and put it right onto the canvas.
Exactly. And that leads to one of the biggest debates about the painting. That blood red sky. Was it just artistic license, or did Munch see something real that inspired him?
Okay, theory time. What are the top contenders for that crazy sky?
One of the big ones ties it to Krakatoa, the volcano, erupted in 1883. The ash from that thing, it went everywhere, caused these insane sunsets for years after. Munch could have seen one, then boom, it pops up in the scream, even if he wasn't doing it on purpose.
Wild, right? This massive natural event, and it ends up in a painting years later, halfway across the world.
It really makes you think.
Yeah.
But there are other theories too. Some people think it's these things called nacreous clouds, super rare. You get them in polar regions like Norway, where Munch lived.
I've seen pictures. They're kind of trippy.
Totally. And the colors, they're unreal, almost like too much.
So maybe he was just painting what he saw, the weird beauty of it. But wasn't there also something about his sister? Like her mental health being a factor in the painting.
Right, some scholars connect the red sky, the whole anxious vibe, to Munch's own headspace. His sister was a patient in this asylum, not far from where the scream is set.
So he could be channeling that, the worry, maybe even his family history, right? They say mental illness ran in the family.
Exactly. Makes you realize artists, they put so much of themselves in their work, even if we don't always get it.
And that makes it harder to figure out what they meant, but also kind of cooler, you know? Speaking of multiple meanings, you said Munch made a bunch of screams. That just makes the whole art theft thing even crazier, right?
It really does. When you consider just how famous the scream is and how much it's worth, it's no surprise that it's attracted some unwanted attention.
Totally. I read that it's been stolen, what, twice? More than once, anyway. So what is it about this one painting that makes it such a target? Besides being worth a fortune, I mean.
Well, there's the money, obviously. On the black market, something like the scream is priceless. But I think there's also this element of like fame seeking. Stealing something so iconic, something everyone knows, it's a way for these guys to be a part of the story, even if it's just for a little while.
Like they're trying to steal some of the spotlight for themselves, huh? Spill the tea. What happened? Did they ever get the paintings back?
Oh, yeah, there were two big heists. First one, 1994, right during the Winter Olympics in Lillehammer, two guys broke into the National Gallery in Oslo, where they had the first painted version, got away clean, even left a note. Thanks for the poor security.
Old move.
Totally brazen, but nobody was laughing. Huge scandal, especially with the Olympics going on. They tried to ransom it back for $1 million, but the gallery said no way. Thankfully, they got it back. Took months, sting operation, whole nine yards, but they got it back safe.
That's got to be a relief, right? So, second heist, what happened?
That was 2004 at the Munch Museum, also in Oslo, this time armed and everything. They got away with two paintings, The Scream, the 1910 version, Andy Madonna, another one of his.
Whoa, double trouble. That's next level. Sounds way more intense than the first one.
It does, right. Witnesses saw them taking off in a getaway car, made international news, and get this, someone actually got pictures of them running out. But the paintings were gone. 2 years.
2 years. Man, I bet people thought they were gone for good.
They did. Rumors going around, maybe they were destroyed, but good news. In 2006, Oslo police got a tip, raided this place, and boom, the Scream and Madonna both recovered.
No way, both of them. What kind of shape were they in after all that?
A little worse for wear. The Scream had moisture damage, and Madonna, a few tears, even some small holes. But they got fixed up by these art doctor people, conservators, I think they're called. Now they're back where they belong.
What a story. From the artist's studio to the thief's hideout and back again. It makes you wonder, what kind of person would risk it all for a painting? Even if it meant hiding it away, maybe even damaging it.
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And it's one that's baffled people for a long time.
Makes the Scream even more interesting, don't you think?
For sure. And speaking of interesting, there's this whole other thing about the Scream, this inscription on one of them.
Okay, now you've got my attention. Inscription. What's it say? Okay, lay it on me. What's this inscription all about?
So the first painted Scream, the one swiped from the National Gallery, right? It's got this thing written on it up in the corner in pencil. Says, could only have been painted by a madman.
Whoa. Chills, seriously. Knowing what Munch was going through, all that anxiety, people must thought some art snob wrote that, right? Like back in the day, pissed off at the painting or whatever.
Totally, yeah. Like, what is this garbage? Only a crazy person would make this. But years later, they get these art detectives using fancy infrared cameras and all, analyzing the handwriting.
Let me guess, it was Munch.
Bingo. Turns out he probably wrote that himself on his own work.
No way.
Yeah.
What, that changes everything. But why, though? Was he messing with people, or was it, like, a deeper thing?
Million-dollar question, right. Some folks think it was him hitting back at the critics. Because when the Scream first showed up, it was a big deal. People freaked out.
Hard to imagine now. Everyone and their mom has a Scream poster. But yeah, back then, must have been wild to see that much emotion just laid bare.
Totally. Some people couldn't handle it. Distorted face, crazy sky. Must be madness, they said. So when Munch writes that, maybe he's making fun of them. Or maybe it was deeper. Like him dealing with his own stuff, the whole mental health stigma, you know? No way to know for sure.
That's what's so cool about the Scream.
Yeah.
You can't pin it down. It's like it shows you your anxieties, makes you think. And speaking of which, we can't forget how much this thing took over pop culture. It's like the logo for Freaking Out.
Seriously, it's everywhere. Even if you don't know art, you know that image. It's anxiety, but like universal. T-shirts, emojis, you name it.
Those Scream movies with the mask, case in point.
Exactly. Munch's painting, it's not stuck in some museum, it's out there. And then Andy Warhol, he did those prints, all bright colors, repeating over and over. Some people think he was saying something about how we see images now, like too much of everything, all the time.
It's wild. Something made over 100 years ago, and it still feels new. That's real art for you, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It goes beyond time, beyond cultures. We all get it on some level.
That's it. It's a mystery, yeah, but it hits us in the feels, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why, even with all the debate, the Scream still matters.
This whole deep dive, man, it's been awesome. And for you listening, one last thing to ponder. If you made a Scream today, what would it look like? Our world, it's a trip, right? So what would your screen be? Keep those art brains buzzing. Until next time, folks.